It's good to be with you tonight to see those that are present. And if you happen to look at the song we just sung, the writer of the words was Flora's brother, Huey Hartzell. And if you have known him or known of him, and he and R.J. Stevens did so much work together through the years. The topic for the lesson this evening is, what went wrong? On April the 14th, 1912, a great tragedy occurred when the ocean liner, the Titanic, hit an iceberg and it sank. This unsinkable ship, which they had advertised, took 1,517 lives to their watery grave. So, in a moment of time, history changed. Now, if the captain of the ship managed to survive, and you were interviewing him sometime later, you might ask the question, what went wrong? If you had it to do over, what would you do different? So these two questions would be the focus of what we're going to talk about tonight. What went wrong? And if you could do it over, what would you do different? It's been over 100 years now since that accident that could have been easily avoided. There's another person in history that we might ask the question to if we had a chance. His name is Eli. Eli the priest. The priest who had tragedy come into his life. He had two sons. The sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know Jehovah. The Hebrew word there for worthless is from Ben Belial, which literally means they were base or worthless men. Eli was a priest unto God, and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were also priests unto Jehovah. And in 1 Samuel 1:3, it speaks to them, and were introduced to them. And the fact that they may have been a priest does not necessarily speak of their character. One may be a priest, a preacher, or a pope, but that appearance may be deceptive. Paul talked about this in his letter to the church of Corinth, 2 Corinthians 11. Such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. It's no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. So the fact that one may wear a title or may dress in a certain way does not guarantee the kind of person he is, because you have to look deeper than that to find out the truth of that. So, I want to consider this morning with respect to Eli's family as to what went wrong. If he was able ever to be a parent again, I'm sure there's some things he would have changed. And so the text gives us some very good clues as to what it's all about. First of all, I suggest that if he had to do it over again, he would have disciplined his sons. You remember that Eli raised a young boy named Samuel. His mother and father brought him to Eli the priest to be raised in accordance with the promise that they had made to God when his mother was barren for many years and finally had a son. And God told young Samuel what was going to take place. Verse Samuel 3. Then Jehovah came and stood and called us another time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Jehovah said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that are spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. and he did not rebuke them. We don't know what went on with his sons when they were children. Many times parents would excuse the bad behavior of their sons, especially boys, and say, well, boys will be boys. Yeah, boy, now they'll grow out of it someday. Boys will be boys. And they kind of let them do what they want to do. But discipline is an important part in the development of character. Proverbs 19, discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. Chapter 29, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. So a disciplined child learns what is good and bad behavior, and the difference between what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. A disciplined child will also learn the art of self-discipline. I've seen the results of a lack of discipline too many times in Jamaica and in America, where a fatherless child grows up with violence, crime, and immorality. And it's growing. It's growing. Discipline seems to be a no-no for some who call themselves experts in child rearing. They claim that saying no will warp the child's personality. They say that saying no will damage their self-esteem. There are some school systems in America now who refuse to give a failing grade to a student. It might damage their ego. It might warp their personality if we make them think that they have failed. Some are even refusing to keep scores in ball games, because if someone loses, that may damage their self-esteem. And we don't want to hurt their feelings. So we just play for fun and nobody will keep score. I wonder how's that working out. And then, here's this family in a restaurant with a little one. He's just screaming and carrying on. Mother says, are you finished making noise now? More screaming, more hollering. Are you finished making noise now? It went on and on and on. At some point, I would have given him something to scream about, I think. Would have given him something to scream about. In Rome, New York, a judge ruled that time out for an unruly second grader was false imprisonment. So the child is not punished. The teacher is punished. Self-esteem is good. But God said that's not the most important thing. Philippians, the second chapter. Do nothing through selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interests of others. I think Eli would have taught them discipline. Second, he would have taught them respect for God. Look in 1 Samuel 2. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know Jehovah and the custom of the priests with the people. When any man was offering a sacrifice, the priest servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the pork brought forth, the priest would take for himself. Thus they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, give the priest meat for roasting, as he will not take boiled meat from you, only raw. If the man said to him, they must surely burn the fat first, and then take as much as you desire, then he would say, no, but you shall give it to me now, and if not, I'll take it by force. Thus the sin of the young men was very great before Jehovah, for the men despised the offering of Jehovah. What's the problem? They had no respect for God. Respect for God is an essential element in a child's development. And evidently, this is something that Eli had not taught to his sons. They hadn't learned this. They had respect only for their own desires, things that they wanted concerning the sacrifices. Children can be brought to church, but they must be taught to love God. Two entirely different things. We can bring our church, and hopefully they'll learn things, but they must be taught. And too many times when children turn back, parents will say, I don't know what I did wrong. I brought them to church all the time. What did you do at home? What did you do at home in teaching them? The church is not the primary place for teaching respect for God. The church has its part, but that's not the primary place. Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, provoke not your children, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. And then we see what godly mothers and grandmothers can do with respect to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it's in you as well. Timothy's father was not a Christian, but his mother and grandfather made sure that he understood things about God. Again in 2 Timothy 3, you, whoever, continue in the things which you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There is no substitute for parents teaching their children. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk with them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Seems like pretty thorough instruction for our children. Yes. There's more to it than just Sunday worship. He would have also, I think, taught them basic morality. In addition to their abuse of the offerings, they were committing fornication. 1 Samuel 2, now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He said to them, why do you do such things, the evil things that I hear from all these people? No, my sons, for the report is not good which I hear from the Lord's people circulating. If one man sins against another, God will mediate for him, but if a man sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for the Lord desired to put them to death. While Eli did rebuke them, he did not exercise his responsibility to stop this evil practice. What did the law say about those who were committing fornication? Stoned to death. Stoned to death. Moral principles can be taught to young people. They're not animals. They're not ruled solely by their passions and lusts. Some of our so-called parenting experts must think differently. It is claimed that abstinence-only sex ed courses do not work. And some even claim that teaching abstinence is dangerous. An abstinence until marriage program is not only irresponsible, it's really inhuman. Our representative, Barbara Lee. Can you imagine that? It's inhuman. I hear all this talk about family values and all this stuff. I resent it. I think it's immoral. I think it's unethical. Who said that? Maybe you've heard of Bill Clinton. Quoted from a speech he made at the University of Minnesota. Can you believe that people have a brain? Say stuff like that? Consider the case of Joseph, a young man, a teenager, sold into slavery in a foreign land, serving in Potiphar's house, whose wife has designs for him. It came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. He has put all things that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in his house than I. He has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I then do this great evil and sin against God?" He's a slave, far away from home. I'm sure he would realize that she could make his life much easier for him if he would give in to her desires. "I can't sin against my master, and I can't sin against my God." What a testimony to what he had learned when he was young and growing up. What a great testimony. Parents and young children face challenges today that were unheard of in previous generations. We have the wonderful world of TV that no longer brings innocent programs like Life with Father, The Cosby Show, Leave It to Beaver. Now we have Sex and the City, Desperate Housewives. A recent survey showed that 81% of primetime shows have sexual content. 81%. We have the movie industry that once refused to even show a husband and wife sleeping in the same bed. If they're in a bedroom, they're in twin beds. Now they don't, maybe not show that, but they show nude, unmarried people in the same bed. We've come to that. So parents or grandparents, when you're around your grandchildren, do you monitor the movies and TV programs they watch? You also need to be aware of the music that they listen to. Sex, drugs, profanity, Satanism are all big sellers. You ever heard of a band called Kiss? Something they're pretty popular. The leader, Gene Simmons, he said, "Our music is concerned with sex and little else." A lot of music like that today. A lot of music like that. In a Nashville concert, his band, they asked those in the audience, "Do you care what your parents think of us?" And they shouted, "No." "Do you care what your preachers think of us?" And they shouted, "No." The question is, what about what God thinks of us? Do we care about that? Do we care about that? What words of the music do you think are appropriate? If you could take the words of a popular song and read it to your Sunday school class, then it's okay. You're probably okay with that. But if you'd be embarrassed to read it to your Sunday school class, then you don't need to be listening to it. And your children, your grandchildren, don't need to be listening to that either. And now we have the wonderful internet, both a blessing and a curse. It can put us in touch with friends around the world and at the same time bring the most unimaginable pornography into our homes. This is why it is recommended that computers or the internet be placed in a living room or den, not in your children's bedroom. Ninety percent of children ages 8 to 16 have seen pornography on the internet, according to a survey. But he would have also taught them respect for authority. Eli evidently waited too late to exercise his authority. Look at 1 Samuel 2:25. They would not listen to the voice of their father. They're grown men now, they're priests. Maybe it's too late to try to do something because they're not children anymore. Respect for authority is one of the first things a child must learn. Between 6 and 9 months old, they can understand what no means. Children are born self-centered. They get hungry. They need to be changed. They can't tell you, I want some breakfast. No, they cry. That's how they survive this first several months. But then they learn. They demand attention through the first months of screaming and crying, but they need to learn how to communicate better what their needs are. They do not learn respect for authority at home. If they do not, they're going to have trouble in life. They have trouble at school. School systems all across our nation are losing teachers in their classrooms. Why? Because they cannot exercise discipline and the children just get out of hand. We've seen much of this in our Atlanta schools newspapers recently. The children have not learned discipline at home, and so they're going to take it from somebody else. Teachers are not allowed to discipline children who are misbehaving, or else they may lose their jobs. Headlines in our Atlanta newspaper a while back told of a teacher who gave a student a low grade because the student was just sleeping in class. He lost his job. He was fired after being an excellent teacher for 20 years because he dared to discipline a child who was sleeping in class. And then there is a high school athlete's father who went to court to overturn his son's suspension from the team. Why was the son suspended from the team? He had stolen a car, drove it wildly, knocked down mailboxes, and dumped the car in a lake. And so evidently the father thought he shouldn't be disciplined anyway. And here are some mothers of eighth grade girls who were upset because they were disciplined for their sexual activity on the school bus. I could go on a few hours, but we probably need to go home and sleep after a while. It's just unbelievable what we're reading going on in the world today. And parents who fail to teach their children discipline, one day may visit their children in jail. And then we'll see how it goes. If they've not learned respect for authority at home or at school, then likewise will grow up with no respect for the law. And so it goes. Learning respect for authority, parents, will help them also learn respect for God. Because one day, they may see their children in hell. God held Eli accountable. He honored his sons above God. 1 Samuel 2. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I not indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose them from all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to go up to my altar to burn incense, to carry an ephod before me, And did I not give to the house of your father all the fire offerings of the sons of Israel? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering which I have commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choices of every offering of my people Israel? He honored his sons. I realize that when children become adults, they make their own decisions. And I've known many situations where parents really did all they could, did an outstanding job of teaching the children, and the kids still turned out bad. I had a Bible class teacher when I was in college. His name was Homer Haley, a well-respected man in his generation, knew the Bible as well as anybody I ever knew. He and his wife had three children, I think, adopted two. And Homer Haley was the most godly man that I think I ever knew. At one time, he was holding a meeting for us, and all the children were all grown and gone, and not a one of them was faithful to the Lord, as best I know. I think that changed later, but at this time, there were none. I said, "Brother Haley, how do you deal with this of your children?" "Well, David, I look at Adam and Eve and who their father was and how they turned out. I've used that so many times to help people deal with their own children who have departed, even though they had done their best to teach them. Who could have had a better relationship with God than Adam and Eve? I mean, they could talk to him. He would talk to them. But they were free agents to make their own decisions. So if we do what we can and they still go off, we don't need to go around moaning and groaning and beating ourselves up. Maybe we did all we could do. God did make us free children." But evidently, Eli did not do his best, for God held him accountable. And I'm concerned today about parents who honor their children before God. They want their children to play sports, to be popular, to be successful. Nothing wrong with those things as such until they interfere with serving God. But when things of the world take precedence over serving God, then there's something that's gone wrong there. They want their children to be popular, to be well-liked, to enjoy things. Let them go to the dance, to the prom. Maybe skip Wednesday night because there's a ball game on. So what are we teaching our children when we allow those things? When you allow them, even for a moment, to put things of the world first, above God. What they're teaching the children is that personal pleasure and popularity come before God. And will God hold them accountable? I've seen parents live to regret such decisions. Children can stand up. They can make right decisions. Many years ago, there was a young girl in Arizona. In high school, she was voted to be the homecoming queen. Had a big dinner, and then a dance that followed. She went to the dinner, received the honor, and then as dinner was finished, the dance was to begin, she got everyone's attention, and said, "I want to thank you for the honor you bestowed upon me for being the homecoming queen. I really appreciate it. Now, as my conviction as a Christian, I do not dance, so I'll be leaving now." They gave her a standing ovation. They appreciated the fact that somebody had some standards and they were going to stick with them. Children can learn to take a stand. The Bible is a wonderful teacher. So many lessons there for us. Romans 15:4. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance of the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. 1 Corinthians 10. These things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. And I pray that Eli could teach our parents and our young children some valuable lessons. If the lessons are learned, we don't have to go back one day and say, what went wrong? If I had to do it over again, what would I do differently? But there is one area of life where you not have the luxury of doing it over, and that's in your relationship with God. We go through life once, and we'll be held accountable for what we do with it. If you were called before the throne of God today, would you be ready? The people that Peter was preaching to on the day of Pentecost realized they were not ready. And they asked, what shall we do? When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Are we all ready tonight? We don't know when the Lord's coming. He could come tonight. If you're not ready, God has given you this day, this hour, to make yourself ready. If you need to respond in some way to the Lord's invitation, will you come and we stand and as we sing?